Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Basketball fans, the College Bowl Show returns. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Marshall, will be joining us very soon. We are back on the College Bowl Show to discuss everything surrounding college basketball, of course. It is that time of year. We're, you know, nearing the end of January, and I'll tell you what, it is cold like a mother effer up here, no doubt about it. Okay, this is probably one of the colder days we've had in a while. Up here in Minnesota, I'm looking at negative 23 right now, and it was windy as hell today and yesterday. Not as bad wind the last little bit, but it may get down to negative 25. It's crazy, man. Really crazy. The other crazy part is it's a high of 39. A high of 39, so it's a low of 30. Looks like it's going to get down maybe a degrees or two, a low of negative 30, excuse me, and a high on Saturday, a handful of days later, a high of 39 and a low of 30. So go figure, man. Go figure. That's freaking crazy, man. That is nuts. But anyway, I know a lot of people in Chicago, Midwest, well, just all over the place, really, as far as the East and in the Midwest, it had a lot of cold temperatures this year. So I'm not telling you anything new. But anyway, we are back, and we call it the College Ball Show because we are knee deep in the college basketball season. We're going to take this one all the way through March Madness in the national championship game. So stay with us on a weekly basis. We'll be here every single week, breaking down, you know, the last several days of action, which is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about Saturday's games, Sunday's game, last night, even the stuff going on as we speak live right now. And then we're going to, you know, look ahead and preview the next several days of marquee matchups, especially this weekend and early week marquee matchups, games that are under the radar. Of course, we had the Big 12 SEC Challenge that, you know, featured some interesting games. Iowa State got a big win on the road. Kentucky got a big win as well. Big 12 won 6-4 overall. There were some several minor upsets and a lot of razor-close finishes throughout the last several days. But, yeah, we call it the College Ball Show because, like I said, actually, technically, if you've been with us the whole time, we actually start in late August for college football. That's why we call it the College Ball Show. Now we're in college basketball. Like I said, we take it all the way to the national title game. And then we figure if you're already on college basketball, there's a good chance you're going to be into the NBA playoffs. So we have an NBA playoff banter podcast that we do. And we take that all the way through April, May, June to the finals. We have an NBA draft episode. And, of course, free agency somewhere in July. We do a free agency podcast too. So stay with us all the way through July, but it sure doesn't feel like July outside. That is for damn sure. Tonight, Tennessee, no problems at all with South Carolina on the road. South Carolina's been a little scrappy so far in the SEC this season. And overall, 92-70, looking like that number one team. Virginia tonight in overtime got the job done, 66-65, NC State. Your boys at North Kakalaka, the North Carolina Tar Heels, took care of business on the road, 77-54. We have an upset alert, Texas goes down. I'm not even going to say goes down swinging. They got beat by Texas by 10. So there's that. Maryland took care of business. Kind of an interesting win here. Nebraska at home is usually pretty tough. Wisconsin, who's really on the up and up ever since that Michigan upset game not long ago, they won 62-51 on the road. There's still a game later against Nevada and UNLV a little bit later. Right now, currently, Alabama is up on Mississippi State, 71-75. And Michigan looks like they're going to be okay, 50-38, after Ohio State started the game really, really well. So, like I said, we're definitely going to, you know, recap the last couple of days and then preview the upcoming weekend, some of the games coming up, you know, and just talk a bunch of stuff is basically what we're going to do. We're going to check in with the crafty pick of the week where my co-host Marshall, who I'm about to bring in, you know, he just blindly, and I mean blindly when it comes to college basketball. We do this for college football, but he just blindly throws me two teams and I have to pick it without knowing. So, well, that'll be later in the show. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, you can find it right here. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio. So it streams live. It archives as well. You know, so it's basically the headquarters. It's under the Rope It Up Radio podcast umbrella, which you can find on iTunes. You can find it on Stitcher, Spreaker. A lot of people like the Spreaker app. TuneIn. TuneIn is a great source. A lot of people like the way that's set up. Same with Player FM. We've gotten a lot of listens through TuneIn and Player FM throughout the year. So you can find the College Ball Show under the Rope It Up Radio podcast at all those different places. Also, we're a part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, okay? So that's available everywhere. iTunes, you can subscribe anywhere. They're also a part of Spotify and iHeartRadio. So you can listen to the College Ball Show either under the, you know, Rope It Up Radio banner or the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Like I said, it streams live on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. You can, you know, listen to a podcast right there, by the way. You don't have to go to these other places. You can read an article. I do a weekly college basketball predictions article. And while you're at it, you can place a bet, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. And one more thing. Right now, a lot of people are cutting the cord or have already cut the cord. They just have Netflix and Amazon, and they sign up for you know, maybe a standalone service, streaming service like HBO or Showtime. Right now, just in general, I'm offering two deals for you, okay? And this is not just your random ad trying to push it on you. This is something with personal experience. Now, I did DirecTV with satellite for a long, long, long time, over a decade. And the bill just got out of hand. So now I'm on the streaming service, still with DirecTV, but no satellites. It's DirecTV Now, okay? They offer a lot of great deals. Packages starting as low as 40, 55, 65, 75, and you can have, you know, you can have stuff with 65 live channels, that's the $40 package, one with 85 with a bunch of sports stuff, and you can add on, of course, HBO and Showtime or whatever else you'd like. But the deal, like I said, I offer you two deals. So you have DirecTV Now, which is a great streaming service. It's one of the best out there in general. If you look at it compared to Sling and a couple other YouTube as well, it beats that. Hulu Plus as well. You got a lot less complaints. And the technology is just getting better. So DirecTV Now. But if you're an AT&T customer, okay, which I have been for a long, long time as well, AT&T and DirecTV right now are offering a ton of specials. And you get those prices I meant, the different packages that I read off. You get those for two straight years before they, you know, of course, raise the price a little bit, right? And right now, Showtime, which is number one for boxing with the PBC, right now, Showtime, you can get Showtime for as little as $8 a month through this AT&T DirecTV Now deal, okay? So if you're into streaming, you might want to check that out. Sorry about all the talking at the beginning of the show. What are you going to do? I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall, kind of gauge his temperature, see how he's doing. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing? Long-winded, but, you know, we got a new ad season coming out. So, you know, we got to promote some stuff that we believe in.
Amen. I mean, Netflix, and I mean, just there's continuously good shows being made. It's not a bad time to live for television. And HBO, I mean, yeah, Big Little Lies coming back. Game of Thrones is coming back. Sharp Objects is coming. HBO alone can give you hours and hours of endless TV. So no issues there at all. I got my first thing is Florida A&M 72, Coppin State 70. Our first crappy pick of the week basketball game turned out to be a hell of a game for the MEAC, MEAC Conference. So we're off and running. I can't remember who else. Who did you pick?
I picked the losing team. I picked Baltimore, dude.
Oh.
I picked Coppin State, man. Yep, Coppin State was my squad.
The refs
on that
have
one.
It out for you. The refs have it. It's already getting dramatic here. The refs have they're tired of us winning all those money on college football. So the fix is in. I'm already upset. But oh well.
I didn't want to say anything, but you said it best.
And besides that, Purdue, since we did our last show, has had a nice little week. I know Ohio State's not that good this year, but they went in and kicked Ohio State's ass. And then they smoked Sparty. I know Sparty came back on them, but Purdue was up by, I believe, 23 or 25 points in the first half against Sparty. And Sparty made a little bit of a run, but I think Purdue was still up by about 9 or 10 minutes to go. You know, we talked a lot in the Big Ten about Michigan and Michigan State, who've been struggling a little bit. Wisconsin's been on and up and up. But then we have Purdue there, who's playing damn good basketball. And I want to say, Chris, that is a good sign. But I believe this is year 7 of our podcast for college basketball. In the past 7 years, or year 8, we've said the same thing about Purdue every single year, too. So I'm kind of happy to say this, but I'm kind of like, oh, man, I'm setting myself up to having to apologize or say, well, you know what, I saw this part coming, too. Purdue does this almost every bleeping year where they get on a great run, everyone starts to talk them up, but then they falter down the stretch, and they never make it past the Sweet 16 if they even get there. So it's time of year for Purdue to look great, which means in about 2 weeks you're going to stumble, and they won't make it past the Sweet 16. But I guess you got to give them props before you knock them back down.
Well, I think the way they're doing it this year, I think you got to give them props because they really, it's a great coaching job because they lost
sure.
a couple of those major parts, you know, like you said, that regular season success and getting to the Sweet 16, they lost a lot of those parts. They just have that Edwards, and it kind of figured them. Not that that's all they had, but from those, you know, from the quality regular season teams the last 2-3 years. And you're right, they haven't, especially last year. Well, yeah, I suppose the last 2 years they haven't gone as much or as far as they could or capable of. But this year was a little different because they got off to a really rough start and got it together within the conference. So they really, I think they've overachieved with the squad they got. But, you know, you're talking about that victory from Sunday, right? And you're right. They got on early. I think it was like 39-19. Michigan State did a decent job of getting back in that game, but it didn't matter. And that was significant for three different reasons. One, they had Michigan State anyway had a 13-game current winning streak dating back to November this year, right? Or, you know, this season, I should say. Then they had a 21-game regular season streak in the conference going on dating back from last year, which that came to a stop. And then a 12-game road streak in league play. So that, you know, that's a whole lot right there to take in. But, yeah, man, so that was a big win in more ways than one, that's for sure. Because, you know, they have been looking good, though. You're right, this is the time of the year for them to look good, no doubt about it. But I think it's a little bit different this year. And actually, dating back real quick, talking about that Thursday, because Louisville – who's looking really good. It took them a little while to get going, but ever since, you know, they've gotten going here.
They smacked my boys.
Good, man. Yeah, 84-77, they got the job done. And like you said, they smacked North Carolina a couple weeks ago at the beginning of the game, or actually somewhere around that time. But Michigan State, they did have back-to-back road games at Iowa and at Purdue. They did beat Iowa 82-67 last Thursday. So that is still pretty solid. They're in good shape as we kind of break down the conference stuff. Some of the marquee matchups, obviously, Iowa State, we've talked about that a couple of shows in a row. They got a big win against Ole Miss, who have been, you know, kind of the surprise team, or one of them, especially in the SEC, 87-73. And every time Ole Miss seemed to creep back in that game, it didn't matter. Iowa State really closed out pretty strong. That's a big road game in that Big 12 SEC challenge, which I said at the beginning of the show that the Big 12 won 6-4 out of the 10 games over the weekend. So that one stood out to me. And also, of course, the Kentucky-Kansas game stood out as well. Kentucky looking real strong, 71-63. The second half was very telling, 41-30. P.J. Washington was everywhere, 14 of his 20 in the second half. They looked really good, especially down the stretch. Derek Lawson had a really nice game. We talked about him, you know, last week as far as him having to, you know, step up because that center's out for the year. They didn't get much help off the bench overall. You know, they shot the three-pointer better than they did overall from the field. So that's never a good thing. What was your take from those two games? Big wins because, you know, you had rank versus rank, but especially Iowa State on the road at a ranked team and Kentucky taking care of Kansas.
I think the sweet part for Iowa State is the stat of the year so far is they shot the highest percentage for a road team all year. They shot freaking 69% on the road. I don't know what Steve Fromm's doing there, but he is doing a phenomenal job coaching on Iowa State team. Again, I repeat every show, but they lost NBA talent the past two seasons. All they have is a true senior talented guard, Shayok from Canada, and that's really all they got for, like, they don't really have some blue chip talent. This team is just continuing to surprise people. It's hard enough to shoot over 50% in a basketball game, let alone 69 on the road. It's the highest clip of the year. I'm not sure that'll get broken. So that is a hell of a win. If you shoot 69% of the road in college basketball, you ain't losing that game at home or on the road, period. So good win for them. And as you mentioned, I think Cal is finding his guys. You know, he always likes to talk about his boys, his guys, his whatever, his family. When your bench doesn't score a single point and you win a big game, I think he's developing his starters. And as we mentioned, it might be a little bit easier, Chris, because there's not quite the, you know, I got seven guys who all want to go to the draft next year. Who do I put here and where? Maybe it's a little bit of an easier chemistry, what we talked about last show of, okay, I got my guys this year, but, you know, everyone already has established a role. You know, normally this time of the season on podcasts, we talked about Purdue's history with our podcast. Kentucky's history right now is three-game losing streak. Calipari choosing the people on the sidelines. He loses his shit. He goes off in the interviews, then later in the year they get together. I think he's already got people in his roles, which will probably make coaching much easier, and then you're able to get a win against a good Kansas team when your bench doesn't score points. So clearly his starters are starting to find their spots in his rotation, and the team's gelling quicker than they normally do.
Yeah, good call, man. And like we said, if they're starting to figure it out, which they have been midway through January, look out, man. Look out. That could be a Final Four team. Just because, based on the coaching. You know, based on the coaching, man. LSU got a nice little road overtime win, 86-80 over Missouri. Mississippi State beat Auburn. Auburn's been they've been trending downwards, to say the least. Yes. They need to figure it out. They have an injury, but still, you need to win one of these. I think it was four out of five games or something like that where they had a stretch, or they're in that stretch where they had to play a ranked team and stuff and such. But come on, man. You got to get it done. Villanova, Marquette, our basically the top two teams and the only teams in the Big East right now that look like they're headed to the tourney. Marquette got a win over, you know, a rival, 87-82 against Xavier. Illinois added another nice little win, another road one at Maryland this time, 78-65.
Wow.
So Illinois, you know, Coach Pitino heading into the game for the Gophers, and just in general, I heard, you know, the Big Ten network guy saying it too, that, you know, this team, when you look at their win-loss, you just couldn't really judge them for that. They're a much better team than it looked like. I think they were 0-5 or 0-4 going into that game with the Gophers a couple weeks back, and they just smacked them. It was one of the worst road, probably the worst Pitino loss in general, you know, in his era since he's been here 5 years. So, That was telling, but they're doing it again now too. You know, and Maryland has been playing really good. So, you know, and it's something to keep an eye on. I wouldn't say that they're all of a sudden going to make this great run or anything like that. But yeah, I like it. Gotta like it. Some other things just happened on Saturday. NC State, who badly needed a win over Clemson, they did get it with a 3-pointer. A game winner by Braxton Beverly, but they were down 8-0, or I mean, they made an 8-0 run with 19 seconds left. So that was pretty big. Like you said, that Iowa State stat's pretty crazy. Tennessee has been on a run, 14 victories in a row. It's the longest winning streak in school history, dating all the way back to the 1922-23 freaking season. So that's pretty crazy. I mentioned Marquette won. Marcus Howard scored 31 points. It's his fifth 30-plus game this year. Virginia Tech beat Syracuse. That was a nice little, you know, win or whatever. Justin Robinson from Virginia Tech, the Hokies, they've been shooting the lights out, by the way. They won 78-57, but Robinson hit a school record nine three-pointers, and he added eight assists. Now he has the school record for assists there. Just a couple of different stats to kind of throw at you as we break this stuff down. And actually, I mentioned, you know, Kansas losing tonight. Here's something to think about as well. And actually, let me get to that in a second, because we'll break some of that down from last night and whatnot and from tonight as well. But just to keep going on Virginia Tech as far as scores, all six of Virginia Tech's top scorers are shooting 46% plus from the field. And five of those six are shooting 42% or more from three-point range. So we're starting to really see what Vatek is made of, at least offensively. But I mentioned my Gophers really quick. I should say they had a good week, Minnesota Gophers, did they been doing a show called Living in Loserville. It's a basketball podcast. So it's Minnesota basketball, which is the Timberwolves and the Gophers. We talked a little bit about this game. Minnesota got a big win at home, 92-87 over Iowa, man. That was a nice little W, no doubt about it. I thought last night I was pretty impressed with Texas Tech, although they've been on a nosedive lately, to beat TCU, which has been playing pretty good, to just kill them, 84-65. I thought that was very impressive. Like I said, it looks like Michigan's pulling away right now, 63-45, as we kind of go over some of these games. Virginia, I mentioned this earlier, 66-65. And they have five games of scoring over 80 this year, whereas I think they had two in the last two or three years. So, you know, we say let's keep an eye on this. Let's keep, you know, watching the situation. Well, offense, you know, in Virginia is not always something that goes hand in hand. So that's something to take a look at as well. But in that Texas, you know, as we kind of make our way through some of this recap, I'll let you go. I'm a little long-winded here. But that Texas game, you know, the center's out. He's not coming back. But after tonight's loss at Texas for Kansas, they're now 1-5 in true road games this season. Their only win was Baylor. So might want to, you know, let's monitor that as we go through the Big 12, dude, because you know, we're going to start going through some of these standings, Marshall, and this year looks promising for this Big 12. We keep hoping week by week we keep updating people on. It's basically like if anything could happen this year as college basketball, it'd be somebody else winning the Big 12 rather than 14 years in a row with Kansas.
I'd be okay with that. That's fine by me. My only sad news is if you're a college basketball team and you have a 14-point lead at home and you're at the bottom of your conference playing a top-end team with 2.5 minutes to go, you cannot blow that game. Mizzou was up 14, I believe, with 2.5 minutes to go. LSU goes on a crazy run. Missouri's dumb enough to commit a foul with 2 seconds left, up one. LSU makes only one free throw to go into OT and then wins. That was an awful loss for Missouri. Missouri's had a pretty rough year. I think their only winning conference was versus Bama. They play a phenomenal game for 37 minutes, and then they fell apart. But it just goes to show, I mean, you never know. There's nothing guaranteed in basketball. You got to make your free throws. Got to wrap games up. So that was a crappy loss, unfortunately. And, you know, you mentioned Tennessee a little bit. I think they're really finding their spot. You know, it's hard to kind of come off the map and all of a sudden be a legit one seed potentially in the tournament. Their one seed case is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We didn't really talk about them last year, but they have brought people in. They've had people step up. And this is becoming a pretty damn legit good squad, Chris. I mean, they're a team that they're on a roll. I still think defensively they can become a better basketball team, but offensively, they have a fast point guards, and they have bigs that have, you know, decent moves in the post. This is going to be a very scary team to play with, especially if you want to run up and down the court against them. That Tennessee just held their 14 games in a row. They have not lost at home this year. That's a team where we're going to be talking about them later in March, and it'll be kind of cool. It's always nice to bring up different teams. And I know I get, you know, I brag about my Tar Heels, but certainly I was, you know, Carolina, Duke, Michigan State. You kind of repeat the same people. Well, why not have a team that's a one seed that's not been a one seed for as long as we can remember or whatever? So why not mix in a little new blood? And I think that aura of, well, is Tennessee for real? I think that conversation is coming very close to being over, Chris. And they're a legit squad. They're going to be a pain in the ass for a lot of teams they have to face later in the season.
No doubt about it. And, you know, we're used to not regular season Tennessee. You know, that run that they did have, whether that really existed or not, I think some of that really didn't happen as we, you know, rewrite history because of, you know, the off-the-field issues, sanctions and whatnot. But,
sure.
I mean, they did well at the end of seasons to kind of make up for some, you know, their record, and they wouldn't get in there as a great seed, but they would make a run, right? They'd make a deep run or whatever with Pearl, but you're right, during the season, to have this much success this early, well, it's telling. I mean, 14 wins, 1922-23 season, that's telling you a whole lot. So it was a pretty good week in college basketball as we take a look at some of these matchups coming up. You have actually, you know, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. We're starting to see Friday games more and more in college football. Now we're starting to see, especially on FS1, we're starting to see Friday night college basketball. And a couple of weeks ago, there was a nice doubleheader. I'd have to say, as far as the Big Ten country, This Friday is a pretty good Friday. So it starts at 6 p.m. Central. Number 5, Michigan, travels to Iowa, who now needs a pretty big win. That's going to be tough. I'm looking at that one thinking, I wonder if that's my upset of the week, to be honest with you. Then number 21, Maryland, on the road at number 24, Wisconsin, and Maryland had beat them earlier this year. So on Friday, just Friday alone is some pretty good matchups. Obviously, a lot of different matchups, marquee matchups in the ACC and the Big 12, and kind of all over the place. But North Carolina in the rematch at Louisville. Now, we talked about how Louisville put it on your squad last go round.
Yeah.
And I forgot that was 83-26, and I forgot, Marshall. I plumb forgot that was at home too for the Tar Heels in Kakalaka Land.
That's crazy, man. It was Roy's worst loss he's ever had at home, I believe. I'm almost certain that his worst loss as a Tar Heel head coach.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah.
So they've been on a tear lately. Heading into this one, if we're going to, you know, go by, according to ESPN's basketball power index that I know you love so much, but we finally one that makes sense. We finally got one that doesn't have some stupid percentage point that needs to be there. Marshall, this is the first time it's ever happened. 50% straight up, no point, nothing, just 50% point zero. 50-50. We have ourselves a 50-50 ball game. Both clubs coming in hot, especially Louisville. But, you know, since that loss, North Carolina's looked pretty good too. How do you see this 50-50 matchup on the road? You know, it seems like North Carolina is better on offense. Seems like Louisville's better at defense. Yeah, nothing's really changed too much, and that's kind of the matchup they've had these last 5 years. How do you see this one going down? A must-win, especially already getting walloped at home, dropping one early.
Yeah, I would like to assume we'd split. I mean, you know, the motivation angle, I mean, those guys, those teams are getting up for games anyways because they're good teams. But, yes, that definitely should help them. I would expect if the recent history shows much, whenever we go there, it is always just a very fun game to watch because it's never more than like a five-point game. We always battle against Louisville, and we normally find a way to win with like 2 seconds left on the clock. Something miraculous happens, but I will for sure watch this game because it's almost always close. Like this game, it's always a one-possession game. Now, again, we could get blown out, we could blow them out, whatever, but it's almost always us versus Louisville, a bunch of fouls, game comes down to the last minute, here we go, see what happens. We normally find a way to win. So I'm hoping the recent pass will help. I do think Nasir Little, Kobe White, where our freshmen are continuing to progress. Cam Johnson, our senior, starting to get his, you know, better and better. Luke May has his normal double-double. I mean, we're going in the right direction. But us in Louisville, it's always a very fun game. So I'm just going to take my Tar Heels. We always seem to win there, even though it's very ugly. And I hope that trend continues because I want to kind of keep fighting for that, stay atop the ACC. It's us, Virginia, Duke, kind of Vatek, and Louisville. We're all kind of jumbled up there. It'd be nice to get a little bit of a separation gap. I'm not saying I want to win the ACC title in the regular season, but at least stay in the top three for projections and seedings and all that good stuff.
Right.
So I'm hoping for a W for the boys and a little bit of venom and spite after what happened to them on their home court.
Yeah, I'm going with North Kakalaka on that win. And like
did you
said,
flip a quarter?
It's not like, yeah, that's basically how I did it because that 50-50 because we go off the index here. But yeah, they like you said, you don't need to win. You want to win the ACC, but you don't need to, especially you know the five or six at the top, you know, the committee's going to respect that if you can finish third or second or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. A
couple other matchups we'll talk about from Saturday. Number 12, Virginia Tech on the road at number 23, NC State. And NC State needs a quality win in conference. They really do. They've come up real – I mean – tonight, they came up real close, 66-65. They lost to Louisville when they had to go head up with them, lost to North Kakalaka when they went head up with them. So they badly need this win to stay ranked, to stay relevant. If they lose, that'd be 16-6 after having such a good start. I mentioned Virginia Tech full of offensive power. So we're looking at that one, Virginia Tech on the road at NC State. And then also Texas Tech, the sky's falling, but it doesn't have to be if you get this win. However, Kansas, so Texas Tech, number 16, traveling to Kansas, a number 11, who just lost. So, you know, they got caught looking ahead to this matchup and by Texas tonight. And that's got to suck if you're a Red Raiders fan, because you're like, all right, dude, let's go in there. Let's get the – oh, shoot. So now their guard is going to be up. If their guard wasn't already up, it probably should have been anyway. But at home, it's going to be tough for Texas Tech, who just haven't quite figured it out lately. In the games they've lost, most of them have come, you know, against non-ranked opponents. Now, they did look better against TCU, but – I was going to look at this one as saying a minor upset on the road here, Marshall, but with KU losing, it just feels like it's going to cause them to, you know, it creates urgency to where they know they got to protect their home court. And I think it's going to be a tight game. It'll come down to the closing minutes, but I like KU in this one. How do you see those two games breaking down? NC State badly needed a home victory, and I guess you could say that with KU, maybe not the same comparison there with NC State, but NC State really needs look at me, I'm ranked for a reason win right now, and KU needs to protect that home court, being that they're 1-5 in true road games.
It doesn't seem like NC State ever gets blown out in a game at home. They don't always win them, but whenever NC State plays, it's almost always a competitive game. They have a very good home court advantage. I did see, as I was looking on ESPN before we started our show, that I guess their fans were chucking stuff on the court during the game. The head coach had, like, on the mic. I think there was, like, a controversial call or something. So emotions were high. Obviously, you got to kind of regain your focus. But, again, with everything on the line, again, I do like their chances. I don't think Vatek on the road this year has proven to be as good maybe as the ranking shows. So I'll take the Wolfpack there. Again, there's just something special about their home court, whether they're playing Carolina, Duke, Virginia, Syracuse. They never seem to have a bad game. Again, not a guaranteed win, but it's single digits or it's competitive. So I'll go Wolfpack there. And for Kansas, yeah, you're right. They got to keep winning at home because this team is not road tested. They're not quite – making the strides we would expect from this team. They got it. The rest of their schedule's got to be pretty tough. This Big 12 conference, I think, is growing to be more competitive than we expected this year. And I think what kills Texas Tech is their offense. You know, they at the start of the year, it's kind of, oh, look at Texas Tech's defense. And it's like, okay, that game against Duke, they stumbled down the stretch offensively. Against Iowa State, they fell apart at home. You know, you keep mentioning how Texas Tech is losing these games. I don't think they have a closer. That's something they had with Tubby. That's something they have with a coach after Tubby, who I'm drawing a blank on. But Texas Tech's only always had a really good guard that's either gone pro or has just been like a dude that can drop 25 a game for you. They might have that guy on the team right now, but he's not doing it consistently. Texas Tech needs a guy that can score you points. I would say Kansas offensively is doing better this year than they are defensively. So if you got to pick a team, Kansas has to win the home court for reasons you've listed versus a team who struggles offensively to come down the stretch, I would lean the motivational angle again for Kansas, unfortunately. Again, I hate picking them. I spoke nice about them last podcast. I was too happy with myself and my personal life. So I let that reflect on me speaking positively about teams I hate. So I don't want to give too much Kansas love again before I get fired from this podcast. But from a gambling standpoint, I would lean Kansas. Texas Tech needs to develop a more close game down the stretch offensive team before they can be picked more often or move up the rankings in the Big 12, Chris.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the home teams there will get the job done. Couple of potential upsets with the team at home that's ranked on Sunday. Nova, who's okay, really getting their stuff together at 16-4. We can't tell if it's just because the Big East is down or if they're kind of figuring it out because all those pieces they lost in the last couple of years. So we're going to keep an eye on them. Georgetown's played pretty good at 13-7 this year. one to keep an eye on, and also my Minnesota Gophers, the Golden Gophers, that is, 15-5 on the road, you know, at Purdue. Maybe Purdue gets a little lackadaisical. They're usually pretty tough at home, so I'm not telling you to put money on these teams. Just probably some competitive games come Big Monday. Iowa State has another road game that they got to go, this time to Oklahoma. That's one I got my eye on as an upset as well. And then Virginia Tech, I think the next 3 out of 4 games for Virginia Tech is against ranked squads. So we're going to find out even more about them. Louisville comes to town after, 2 days later after that, they'll be at home, but after that North Carolina, Louisville, damn, that's rough. Got to play North Carolina and then Virginia Tech. How do you see that one going down? Like I said, Oklahoma potentially upset possible there being at home. You know, usually in college basketball, you can get those home, wins and then road games, especially against good clubs. Not great clubs, but good clubs can be tough. But Louisville on the road at Virginia Tech, you just got to wonder, can they get up back-to-back games like that, especially the Monday – the Saturday, Monday, which is not always 2 games later, the schedule in college basketball,
Yeah, that is true. That from that emotional standpoint of stuff, so I guess I'll start there. I'm going to pick Louisville just because I want to see if this Vontech team has, like, a little more chops, They played my Atari a little while back, and they start off the game hitting, like, 7 threes. And they get a little curious with threes, but by halftime, Tar Heels going like a 25-2 run, and then the game's a wrap. You know, our last podcast, we went through Vontech's regular season schedule, and we didn't feel their rankings were really warranted, and they got a little maybe too much love in the preseason before conference play started. And have they been that impressive since conference play? Not really. I think they're kind of hanging on there. So then, you got NC State, then you got Louisville. I think this team is kind of going through the beast part of their schedule, and they're going to find a way to win a game. But, Louisville, they went into Carolina and smacked us. You know, Vontech, they kind of have a little bit of a different-shaped arena, but their home court isn't impossible to win at. I think Louisville has a more skillful team. I would lean towards Louisville, and you're probably going to get a point or two. They're either going to be like a 2 or 3 point dog or maybe a close to a pick'em, but if you like Louisville in that game, you're going to get pretty decent odds. And Iowa State, I'm continually impressed with a team that I don't know how they're doing it, Chris. Again, I loved Monte Morris and Abdel Nader and Georges Niang. Those guys were like legit G League / NBA talent. I don't know who the hell he has this year besides Shayok. And they're winning games and like doing it efficiently. So I will not go against my second favorite team, like my stepbrother team. They're playing good ball, so I will take them going to Norman and win. Oklahoma's good, but I think if Iowa State plays like they've been playing, hell, they went into Mississippi and smoked them. They beat Kansas this year. Too much momentum,
yep.
So I'll take the Cyclones to continue maybe a little backdoor Big 12 championship title. Who knows? Someone. Anyone but Kansas, but someone. Yeah, I'll take Iowa State to win. And you're probably going to get – that'll probably be a pick'em game or Iowa State -1. So a pretty good odds again. I would lean towards actually betting that one and stick with the momentum Iowa State's been playing with.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Louisville, draws back-to-back games or split that. Obviously, a split would be key, but something tells me Virginia Tech's going to be hot at home, and that's a small, like, gym that gets pretty intense as well. So I'm going with Vontech in that one, to get a quality win there. And then Tuesday, maybe there's not too many marquee matchups. You have NC State, who we don't know who the hell is. We're going to find out though in the next couple of days, going against North Carolina at North Carolina. You got to figure North Kakalaka is going to win that game. Syracuse and Florida State. That's a pretty good game. Syracuse played a little bit better of late. St. John's, who played good early, got ranked. Maybe they could do something against Marquette on the road. You never know. Number 10 on the road there. and then KU going to Kansas State. And before they just lost, Marshall, you know, I have kind of a variety of games that I break down four different marquee matchups this week, whether it's on Saturday or Monday or Tuesday or whatever. And then I have an upset of the week and under the radar stuff and all that good stuff. My upset of the week right now was going to be Kansas State. And I felt like they're a little bit undervalued. And we know going to Kansas State's tough, especially for Kansas. So I'm thinking, oh, here we go. I'm looking at it like, oh, yeah, dude, this is my upset of the week. And now I go, huh, damn, they're probably not going to lose this one. But that's always tough to go to one K-State in general. But Kansas State, KU can have some problems historically over the last 10, 15 years there. Any team really has gone into Kansas State and had some problems. So I'm looking at that one, but I'm kind of backing off on it a little bit, being that they just lost to Texas, you know?
Yeah, it seems like, from what I recall watching them or betting them, it seems like Kansas always finds a way to pull away. Again, it's normally a pretty close game, but normally Kansas does something to where they're able to win. It seems like Kansas wins about, or K-State upsets them at home about one out of every 3 years. It'll always be a fun game, but K-State normally finds a way to blow it due to the lack of skilled players compared to Kansas. Now, again, if you're a K-State fan and you see Kansas' road record, this is maybe your one out of 3 years to get the job done. Again, I hope that's the case. I've not seen K-State play much. I know they're, again, they've been receiving praise. I'm not sure what kind of non-conference record they had, but I will go with them for their one out of 3 years to get the job done, simply due to Kansas's road issues and the fact that I can't keep saying nice stuff about them and I'm going to have issues with myself. Go Wildcats, go.
There you go. And then I don't know when we're going to do the show next week for sure, but that Wednesday, if it's next Thursday we do the show, then we're not going to talk about it. We'll probably come off, we'll probably actually recap these games. But Wednesday is kind of a low-key good night, too. Wisconsin, Minnesota, LSU at Mississippi State, Maryland and Nebraska.
Ooh.
So a couple of like marquee matchups the next week, but a bundle. And I'm talking about a bundle of just quality matchups that are probably going to produce – you know, close competitive games and you know, this is college basketball. So you got a lot of upsets too. So kind of looking towards that, man, it's a pretty damn good week in general before we make our, crafty pick of the week and we kind of slide through these conference races like we tend to do and kind of give our little nutshell of where everybody is this week. Anything else as far as some games that stand out on the schedule over the next, week, really?
I guess I kind of just want to see just how the SEC continues to play out. Again, I'm a little intrigued, basically probably due to the fact that, you've seen an LSU team be ranked. You've seen Ole Miss and Mississippi State get some love. Auburn's been crumbling down the street, the hill, the mountain, whatever. But, Kentucky's winning against Kansas. I kind of want to see how it continues to play out. Again, I think Tennessee right now is probably the best team in there, but you're having a lot of teams ranked in the SEC that are only ranked, like, during football season. Like, I think they have, 12 to 14 teams in their conference, and half have been ranked this year at some point, or like currently you have four or five ranks. So I kind of want to see, Chris, when we do our podcast again next week, who won the SEC? Besides Tennessee, who else is, kind of climbing up the ladder? Again, LSU is like third best in the conference, and man, they had to like squeak out a miracle win against Missouri. So I guess I'm just kind of intrigued to see who will kind of make their step up to trying to test Kentucky and Tennessee. Because everyone at some point has been getting love or being ranked or getting props, but there's not really a third best team. I mean, who would you say? Tennessee,
well,
then Kentucky,
I mean,
then,
just,
go ahead.
Right. No, you're right. That's what's going to have to figure out. And some of these, you know, Mississippi State, Auburn, some of these teams that had this great non-conference and got ranked.
Sure.
Mississippi State's, you know, 15-5 now. They're on the, you know, the low. They got to freaking definitely win one of these games on this over this next week. They're 3-4 in conference. You got Auburn, who had that great start. They're 2-4 now. Ole Miss, you know, we're going to see. They're teetering-tottering right now. They're 4-2, so they're in good position. But we'll see if their, you know, solid start pays off to more. I think some of the story here, like you said, Tennessee, Kentucky, but some of the story is the average to mediocre to downright bad non-conference start to all of a sudden looking great in conference. Alabama, 4-3, they're 13-7 overall. Florida is 11-8 overall, but yet they stand 3-3 in the conference, sitting in sixth place. South Carolina, they're 10-10, Marshall, on the frickin' season, but of late, I mentioned them last week, they're looking good. They're 5-2 in
sure.
the damn conference, but 10-10. Like, what the hell, LSU,
wow.
Like you mentioned, LSU, we still got to figure out. Oh, they have some quality wins. We're going to, you know, find out more. They're 6-0. So right now it's 7-0, 19-1 Tennessee. Number 19, LSU, is 6-0. They haven't lost yet in conference, 6-3, although they do have Mississippi State on the schedule this week. And then 6-1, Kentucky, who's 17-3. So to see South Carolina, Mississippi, really, but South Carolina, Alabama, and Florida have the record they have in conference, but you see their non-conference record, and especially 10-10, dude. So it's definitely, like, wide open. From, like you said, we're going to see who is third, fourth, and fifth. But, yeah, it's up in the air right now. You could say LSU, but do you feel, you know, great about it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, that's my little hot topic. And just kind of cool because when we normally have that conversation, it's really about the ACC or the Big Ten of late. So it's nice to – mix in another conference who's having a competitive conference race
yeah.
with one more teams to break down, because normally SEC has not made that conversation of late.
Right. In Washington, we check in with the Pac-12 because Washington's still undefeated at 7-0. They're 16-4. I need Washington to win the Pac-12, Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever you want to call it, the Big Sky. I don't care what you call it. Go Washington, because the Gophers have that Washington win, and I want it to be as quality as I want that new net rating. They're not going to like it, though, because it was a one-point win, and they only like when you stomp crappy teams. So that might be an issue anyway. But go Washington Huskies, go. Just kind of making our way through these races. Like I said, if you look at the ACC, I mean, that's probably one of the top, I'd say the top conference, because of, you know, you have the Virginias, you have the Duke, you have the North Carolina, and you have the Louisville, and that's where we're sitting at, both 7-1, Virginia and Duke, but of course Duke has that win over Virginia. North Carolina, Louisville, this is a big one, man. They're both 6-1. I didn't know that they're both 6-1.
Yeah.
Sitting a half
yep.
game back. So that's huge come mid-March, you know, in this conference race. And then you have Virginia Tech 5-2. You have Syracuse, who's really looking up and up, not just that Duke win, but in general, they're 5-2 in conference. And then NC State and Florida State, the quote-unquote ranked teams, they're sitting at 4-4 and 3-4. So we're starting to see a theme in general with some of these ranked teams getting in the conference schedule going, wait, hold on, and then vice versa. Some people that, you know, like Purdue and a couple other clubs that needed a second to kind of figure it out the first 2 months, they're on the up and up. That ACC, though, that's going to be a hell of, a race all the way in, man.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a battle. I mean, Virginia or Duke's probably the coin – toss, like flipped coin favorite team to win the division, but I mean, Carolina, and that, yeah, there's too many teams I can think of, but that would be a very fun race, and it always is, and the conference tournament's always fun to watch too. Yeah, that would be a hell of a conference race, and again, it does matter because they're, you know, you're competing for that difference of, you know, one seed, a two seed, or a three seed, and the seedings do seem to play out. They're more important than I think some of us people realize, and the regular season controls a large chunk of what seeds you end up getting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If you go to the Big Ten right now, you got Michigan, the state of Michigan, Michigan and Michigan State, both at 9-1, sitting at tied at the top of the conference. Then you have Purdue, who is one of those teams that really have turned it on. They're 7-2. Maryland's 8-3. Wisconsin's turned it on as well. They have six losses, but only three in conference play, 7-3. And in Minnesota, that big win over Iowa really separated to be that sixth team at 5-4 rather than the seventh at 5-5. Ohio State, Nebraska, Indiana, these teams were ranked. Now they've fallen down. So that's not to say that they can't come back and compete, that's for sure. And in the Big 12, dude, the Big 12, this one's interesting here. So the top two teams, Marshall, are Kansas State and Baylor, both at 5-2, which is music to my ears. Texas Tech and Kansas, they play Saturday, right? We broke that down. 5-3, both of them sitting at 5-3. That's a huge game. And then Iowa State needs to keep it going. That Iowa State needs to keep it going because they're 4-3. And now you got Texas at 4-4. And it's nice to see here at the end of January, I think before there's another meaningful Big 12 game, we might be into February in Kansas until this Saturday. And here, Texas Tech, KU, come on, Red Raiders, get that. That would be huge for KU to be 5-4. And then that would give them 6-2. Wow, man. So the races are coming all the way to it, coming down to it right now, you know, as we make our way, you know, to the end of January. The Big East is still Nova and Marquette, and then the rest. Georgetown has a chance to pull an upset, but 7-0 Villanova and Marquette 7-1. That's probably going to be what the conference comes down to. Who wins those games against each other? Anything else you'd like to discuss before we get to the crafty pick and then we get the hell out of here?
There's a little minor modification for that. I will say Villanova, they start off the year, people were like jumping off the deep end of the pool. Like they start off, I think, like 3-3 or 4-4. They lost like some garbage teams, and people were like, you know, JRED's going to have a down year. Villanova sucks this year. They lost all their talent. And now it's like, oh, dude, no, we're good. Maybe they were sleepwalking. Maybe they had player drama. Maybe people were hurt. But that whole Villanova is falling off the deep end. They suck. That speech lasted about 2 weeks, and now it's done. And now they're back to probably winning their conference again. So you can expect to see Villanova in the tournament again with Jay Wright. And they're going to cause their damage. The
very true. Very true,
basketball,
sir.
For my basketball game today, a player had a little incident. She was having some medical things. She appears to be okay. But my timing of making a pick was a little bit interrupted. So I have a modification to recommend. Now, I've known my whole life I do love to bet on sports, but I've always stayed away from betting Ivy League basketball. So I think for tonight, if you could bring up Friday night ESPN Ivy League and you picked a game, I would like you to pick an Ivy League game from a Friday night matchup. I'm giving you a conference. I'm normally a little more detailed, but we'll make a little bit of an excuse like pick an Ivy League game Friday and break down a massive Ivy League matchup because there's always been a Friday night deal.
Yeah, you're right. They have been.
Well, here we go.
This one's pretty close. So we have –
all right.
Go ahead.
Boom,
go ahead.
Baby.
What were you going to say?
Normally I pick a game, Chris will – We normally love to talk about the name of the arena, the team mascots, how much seats cost on Vivid Seats, can we go from there? And it is a very fun segment. So what do you got for me, brother?
Right now, it's jam-packed because Vivid Seat doesn't have any seats available in Edward Leed Arena in Hanover, New Hampshire, because the capacity is 2,100. So we're dealing with a pretty big building here at Dartmouth, okay? I'm thinking the Brown Bears, I'm assuming, yep, the Brown Bears, who coming off some tough ones against Yale, as we talked about this last week, went really deep dive into it. James Jones got his 30th win, actually, at Yale. Back-to-back games, losing to Yale. So we know Yale's a pretty good club. The Brown Bears are 12-6 this year. So obviously they were just 12-4 until they ran into the Yale. I don't even know who the hell they are. And then you have Dartmouth, who's 10-8, the Big Green there at Dartmouth.
I like the nickname.
Yeah, so we got a pretty close game according to ESPN's Basketball Power Index. Dartmouth is favored 54.1% over Brown. The Brown Bears traveling 45.9 on the road. So we got an interesting one. I'll tell you what, it looks like the Bears can put up some points. They scored 197 in games in January anyway. Usually these games, especially in football, come down to how you tested yourself in the non-conference. They got beat 110-71 from Buffalo. That's
who is a good team this year?
Yeah, definitely. But I'm trying to. I didn't see any other really quality team even in a loss on the schedule, so it's a little troubling. Same with the Brown. Okay, well I figure. Oh man, I'm gonna go with the slight underdog according to ESPN Basketball Power Index. I'm going with the Brown Bears. They're licking their chops, licking their wounds, I should say, off of those losses to back-to-back Yale. But as we know, Yale's a pretty good club. You know what I mean? They're a pretty good club. So
yeah, they normally are. Yes,
they're pretty good. So I'm gonna say, even, against that 2,100 strong inside Edward Leed Arena there in Dartmouth, I'm going with the road team to come out and get a victory. So my Brown Bears are going to get the W in the crafty pick of the week, which I lost by 2 points last week, by the way.
It's crazy to think that that stadium sits them out like my gym does, because our school – is 2,100 capacity. When we have a pep assembly, it pretty much fills up. So, man, that is going to be a festive environment, I'm sure. And that is, so we've gone from the MEAC to, I think what I'll do, Chris, is I'm going to find all the bottom of the barrel conferences and touch on a different conference each week. So we've done the MEAC, now we've done the Ivy League, next week we'll do like the Big Sky. So not only are we going to give you crappy teams, we're going to give you crappy conferences combining the combination together. It'll be a beautiful, beautiful thing. I got a feeling if you're going to bet, take the Brown Bears. Chris has hit at about a 65-70% clip in all the
Hold on. We should preference it. We're talking about college football with those stats, not college basketball.
True.
We're adding the crappy pick of the week to college basketball. So don't quote us on those stats just yet.
We'll see how it goes. We feel confident. Yeah, maybe dip your toe in the pool. We'll see how this goes. But our football clip has been excellent for nonsense and BS. Hopefully basketball will stay that way. But again, to wrap it up, as Chris said, we're in a great time of the year. Races are starting to get more heated. We're not close to March yet, but we're getting there. So college basketball is picking up. You really won't have many days where you can't find a game if you want to watch college basketball, because teams are either fighting to stay alive, a team is playing to either stay on top of the conference, teams are having rivalry matchups. Carolina plays Duke in about 2 weeks. I mean, there's really, if you're a basketball fan, football's about to be done, baseball hasn't started yet. I mean, this is a great time to just kind of get in your basketball groove, So when you pick brackets in March, you're like, okay, Google this team, or if I see them playing, I kind of have a gut feeling on them. So as Chris said, we'll be back next week, hopefully celebrating a Carolina win over Louisville. That is always a gauntlet going there. Hopefully Chris's boys pull off a Purdue upset. That'd be a hell of a game to summarize and review. So until then, I hope everyone has a nice, safe, healthy week. I hope if you're back home from where I used to live and where Chris lives in Minnesota, you stay warm, buy yourself some alcohol, find your shows on Netflix. Your kids aren't even going to school, so I guess parents just get some pizza, get something, and just stay inside and chill, because you can't do much when it's -25 outside. You're limited options at best. So the boys are out. Have a very good night. Peace.